It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
The Word of God says in Book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God, everything open and naked to His eyes. So God is the one who is keeping all the records. In olden days, I used to think, many people might be thinking too, that God keeps the record. I thought, how big the book will be? Genesis to Revelation, every person in the world, they did something, and God is keeping the record. How big the book will be? But now we know that they have chips, small chips, and they can put the whole Bible and whole history and whole world's books and everything in one chip. Now people can understand God has better chips than what we're thinking. His program is better than ours, so He has something to store to judge the people. Not a single person will say, I didn't do it, because He will have the testimony. The angels will be testifying, the Son of God will be testifying, and person cannot deny. So everybody has to be judged. And some people say, I don't like that kind of judgment. You don't like? Only way you can escape the judgment, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven, forgotten, washed, cleansed, and no record of your sin. So that's what Jesus Christ does. He says, I will forgive your sins. Okay, your sins will be forgiven. Not only that, He said, you pass from death unto life. Okay, you are in John chapter 5. Let's read verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
See, you get everlasting life, no condemnation, and pass from death unto life. When? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you confess your sins and put it in the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, forgotten. Book of Hebrews chapter 8, Book of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, I will remember your sin no more. So the Word of God says only believers will be forgiven, their sin will be forgotten, and they don't have to stand at the judgment seat of God or judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, please read.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
See here, no condemnation to the believers, but when? Don't walk according to your flesh. They say, I'm a Christian, and go to bar. I'm a Christian, have four girlfriends. I'm a Christian, and I watch bad movies. I'm a Christian and I have bad friends. Doesn't work that way. If you are a Christian, you should not be walking in the flesh. If you're a Christian, you walk in the Spirit. Then you will not have condemnation. Verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
See, if you are in Christ, you are free from sin and death. But if you are not in Christ, then you are in sin. And you're going to die and you go to eternal hellfire. So once you come to Jesus Christ, we have eternal life and no condemnation, no judgment. That's the best part of it. You don't have to worry what you did in secret. It will never come up once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And somebody says, if I did after I came to Jesus and then I commit some sin, then what? Repent. Not like Monday morning, I got up, I did some wrong, okay, I'll wait until I come home, all the sin I commit in my business, in my work, then I'll repent. It will not work that way, because you may not be able to come to your house. You might be killed on the way. Then what? The Word of God says only righteous man goes out of his house and comes back safely. Because we have the protection of the angels. The angels' protection is not for the sinners. angel's protection is for the believers. He says, as soon as you are born again, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, God sends his angel to minister to us. So we are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the angels. And so we have the protection. So here the word of God is saying, we should be living in Christ, walking in Christ, then we will be free from sin and death. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 3, verse 13.
Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him.
Now here the John the Baptist, baptizing people in a Jordan River. Jesus Christ goes from Galilee to Jordan, so it's a long walk, and it's a hot sunny day. And some people are making so fuss about the water baptism. I'm talking about the nominal Christians who do not believe in immersion baptism. They will tell you, oh, this is just, you have to do it by faith. Why we have to go in a river or a lake? Why we have to dip somebody in the water? You can just take the water in the cup and just sprinkle or just put a cross and that's it. This is just by faith. The water doesn't save you. Why you have to do all of these rituals? It's not a ritual, it's a commandment. Baptism means immersion. You have to be immersed in the water. And so the John is doing this. Jesus Christ is coming to him. Jesus Christ is our example. If he went that far to take the water baptism, then we have to go a little bit further. When I was in India, baptism pool or river was not close. I have to take a taxi, I have to rent a bus and take the people for water baptism in a sea and a river. And so Jesus Christ is giving an example. He's coming. John the Baptist was saying, repent and be baptized. He did not say to Jesus, repent, because he said, hey, you're supposed to be baptized, me. John the Baptist has a good testimony about Jesus Christ, but his Matthew doesn't say this. Let's go to the St. John chapter 1 and start reading from verse 29.
The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
Now here, when Jesus Christ came, he knew that he is proclaiming about the Savior. He is the Savior. He is the righteous one. I am the prophet bringing people to him. And now he is coming to me to be baptized. What Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 3 verse 15, he says, This is the commandment I have to fulfill. This is the righteousness of God. So I have to fulfill the righteousness of God. And so let me fulfill the righteousness of God. Now how could Jesus fulfill the righteousness of God? Because when he says, John the Baptist says, God has ordained him or inspired him to baptize people. And so when he's baptizing, people are repenting and coming and taking baptism. Now why Jesus Christ has to come and take baptism? Because he's not a sinner. But Jesus Christ took the flesh of Adam. Means he was born in the Adam's family. So as a man, he has to obey the commandment. Everybody's obeying the commandment. So Jesus Christ has to obey the commandment. And so as soon as he was baptized, then the voice comes from heaven. Let's go back to Matthew and start reading from verse 16.
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased."
See, once he took water baptism, came out of the water, then the heaven opened, and then God witnessed about his Son. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Why? Because he obeyed the commandment of God. He did not say, "I'm a righteous. I don't have to take this baptism. This is not for me. This is for sinners." The Sadducees and Pharisees, they came, they thought they are righteous. They rejected the plan of God. They rejected the righteousness of God. But Jesus fulfilled the righteousness of God. So what I'm trying to say, the baptism is not the ritual, is the commandment. We have to fulfill the commandments of God. And here he's saying, let's read the verse 16. Go back.
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
Now he says, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. The Spirit of God. Now many people, Christian scholars, and many other preachers will tell you, Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit when he took the water baptism. Does it say here in Holy Spirit? No. He said the Spirit of God. That means Jesus Christ was still the Old Testament prophet. In the Old Testament prophets, you start from Abel up to the John the Baptist and even the Christ. Christ can be said the last Old Testament prophet. Even though he started a New Testament, but he started the New Testament with his blood. But he is an Old Testament prophet. How do you know? Because if you read in a book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15 and verse 18, it says God was going to send a prophet just like Moses. And so God sent the prophet just like Moses, and he fulfilled the prophecy that he will be a prophet. So Jesus Christ is called the prophet. He is right now as a priest in heaven, and he is coming back as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecy that he was a prophet. Why I'm saying this? Because here is saying the Spirit of God came upon him. And so let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 and 11.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
The Spirit of Christ was in them. In whom? All the Old Testament prophet. If all the Old Testament prophet has the Spirit of Christ, then Jesus Christ also is the Old Testament prophet. So Old Testament prophet, what they had? The Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. Because if you study about them in Old Testament, they will say they had the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Saint John, he says, "I saw the Spirit coming like a dove." John says the Spirit. Matthew says the Spirit of God. And Mark says also the Spirit. But the Luke only says the Holy Spirit. Let's read the Mark and then go to Luke. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 11.
And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him.
Okay, Spirit like a dove. Mark did not say it's the Holy Spirit. Matthew did not say the Holy Spirit. Matthew openly said that was the Spirit of God. But the Luke said the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22.
Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased."
Luke said a little bit different than others. Luke says he was praying, And then the Spirit came upon him, and he said that was the Holy Spirit. That's why most of the people, they just take the Luke's word. But let's come to the book, same chapter, Luke 4, chapter 4, and read the verse 18, what Jesus says.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Now what Jesus Christ is saying, did he say what the Luke said, the Holy Spirit is upon me? No. He says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now who is Lord? The Word of God says Jesus Christ is Lord. Indirectly he was saying, Lord or Messiah you're looking for, that's the Spirit I have. That means Spirit of God, like Matthew said, and Jesus says that's the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of Christ and Spirit of God, they were always together, and all the Old Testament people received the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. We just read in 1 Peter chapter 1. So Jesus Christ is confirming here, I did not receive the Holy Spirit, the third person of Trinity. I just received my own Spirit because God wanted to reveal these people, this is the Lord. And when he took this book, we don't have time, but when you have time to read this from 18 to 29, but we are going to just read last two verses. Let's go to the 28 and 29, the same chapter. When he took this book he was reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 and 2 we read, and he read in front of them, and he says, you know what? This prophecy is fulfilled in your eyes. And then he kept the book down. And then people start saying, who is this guy? This is the carpenter's son, and he has this kind of wisdom. And they start saying something that he is not qualified even to say, I am the Messiah, or I am the Lord, or the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So what these people wanted to do, kill him right away. Read this verse 28.
And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong.
This is the first time after he got baptized, and the John the Baptist testified, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He took the scroll, opened the book of Isaiah chapter 61, read these verses of the prophecy, said this prophecy is fulfilled in front of your own eyes, and they wanted to kill him. Why? Because he said, I am your Messiah, or I am your Lord. And so the point I'm making, people make mistake that Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit when he took the water baptism, and if he didn't have the Holy Spirit, he would not be doing the works what he was doing. People did so many signs and wonders and miracles in the Old Testament, and they were not speaking in tongue. Jesus never spoke in tongue. Those people had the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and Spirit of Christ. But the New Testament church was promised the third person of Trinity. Read in St. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
But this is what you have to remember and tell other people. The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Not yet given means not yet given at all. Why? They're given the reason. Because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. And John the Baptist said, we read in Matthew chapter 3, I baptize you with the water. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So that Holy Spirit baptism was never given to any Old Testament people. The Holy Spirit was given to the church. And why church? Because to testify and prepare the bride for his soon coming. So that was the reason Holy Spirit was given. Okay, so John the Baptist did his job. and he gave his life for the truth. Jesus Christ came, gave the message of salvation, water baptism, Holy Spirit, holy living, and Jesus Christ also went, and now he sent the Holy Spirit, and he said, the works I did, you will do also, and you will do greater works than me. So what is our job now? To preach the gospel, bring the people to the salvation, and preach the full gospel, not half. Full gospel means salvation, water baptism, Holy Spirit, holy living, telling about Jesus Christ coming, and all these things full gospel preacher preaches. And the people are not full gospel, they will preach about salvation, no baptism. Some people will say baptism and no Holy Spirit. And somebody will even don't preach about repentance or repenting their sins and receiving Jesus Christ. So we have to see the Word of God is given to us so we can learn and we can teach the same thing to others. Book of Matthew chapter 4, starting from verse 1.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
What spirit was leading him to go to the wilderness? But we believe the Holy Spirit led him, or the God led him to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now somebody would say, why God wanted his son to be tempted? Because first Adam was tempted or tested and he failed in the test. This is the second Adam. So the first Adam was tested, the second Adam should be tested. So if you read in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 starting from verse 45.
And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption.
Now here the word of God is saying, first Adam was from earth, second Adam is from heaven. So as we were earthly, so we should be also heavenly. And then this verse 50th, it says, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God wanted us to go to heaven. So Adam, even though he did not commit sin, he will be staying on the earthly garden as long as he wants if he didn't commit sin. But if he would have passed the test, then he can go to heavenly paradise. And that was the plan of God, that only Jesus Christ can take us to the heavenly paradise, because he says flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God, or cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So the man, the word of God says to Adam, the day you will eat this food, you will surely die. So the man, if he didn't eat the food, he would not die, but he will not go to heaven, because he was flesh and blood, according to the scripture. But Jesus Christ came, died for us, he was buried. When he came out of the grave, he had a new body. He could go through the wall. So that body was a completely different body. So that's the kind of body we are going to get. So here we see the Holy Spirit also is God. The God is Spirit. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, taking Jesus Christ into the wilderness. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. Enemy didn't come. Now, at that particular time, what Jesus Christ was doing and what he was talking to Father is not recorded. But I think he had the fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit 40 days and 40 nights, the Word of God says, Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So naturally, it comes in your mind, Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I fasted 40 days and 40 nights. No, I should now eat something. And that's what the Word of God says. He became hungry. So now we are comparing the test of Jesus Christ, and the test came to the Adam. Now even the Eve disobeyed God, but her name was still Adam, according to Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. God created man and woman, and he gave them name a man, or some Bible says mankind. Now if you read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, all the fruits and all the vegetables he made, they were good looking and nice to look at. Please read.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Now here he says, every tree God made, when you look at that tree, it looked pleasant. There was no horrible trees, or no dangerous tree, no thistles and thorny tree. Beautiful, and the good fruits and good looking fruits. Why I'm saying this? Because when you was tempted, she started looking at fruit. We will come to that when the enemy asked the questions. But let's read a few more verses and then we'll go to the chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.
God created mankind. God says to Adam, every tree of the garden you can eat freely. But when the enemy comes, see how the enemy comes to deceive. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 3 and start reading from verses 1 to 6.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden.
Now see the foolish question. The enemy comes and says, Did God tell you not to eat any fruit of the garden? That means he is saying, Did God prohibit you to eat any fruit of the garden? They were eating the fruit freely. And so he puts the doubt. Every tree is prohibited, or every fruit is prohibited. And so see what she gives the answer.
And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
When we read in the book of Genesis chapter 2, God did not say, Don't touch the fruit. He just said, don't eat. So see how it happens? When Adam got the message and Adam delivered to his wife, she messed up some teaching. God told us, you cannot even touch that tree. So he got the point. If that's the way it is, touch and see what happens. That's the kind of idea.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.